This is Women in STEM Career and Confidence, the podcast for professional and STEM women wanting to restore confidence, make a meaningful impact, and balance the things and people that mean most to you. I'm Dr. Hannah Roberts, and I'll be sharing with you insights and inspiration into the mindset and skill set to help you navigate your career and lead powerfully. Today, I'm talking to Debbie Neatler. Debbie is a mother of two children and a partner at Austin and Carnley Solicitors. In this episode, we talk about not just creating impact in your work, but how to create impact through legacy. We're going to talk about her four-pillar approach to legacy through connection, creation, celebration, and curation, and what those are, and some fundamental questions to ask yourself before working with a solicitor to manage your legacy planning and create the biggest positive impact in the world. It's a really important topic, and I can't wait for you to hear this episode. So let's dig in. Welcome, Debbie, to Women in STEM Career and Confidence. I'm so pleased that you could take the time out to be with us today. So thank you.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm really excited about today's call, and I know we're going to unpack loads for your listeners.
Absolutely. And I wondered if you could just first of all tell people who you are and what you're up to in the world.
So I'm Debbie James. I'm also known as the Legacy Lawyer, and I am a managing director of a law firm which is nearly 200 years old. So I like to think of myself as the custodian of this law firm because it's been going long before me and will carry on hopefully long after me. But my work is around legacy, and I believe that when we understand our living legacy as well as the legacy that we want to leave, we really can have impact both in our own lives but also for the world and the planet and its inhabitants and our families and friends.
And you're very much aligned with my kind of thinking around legacy as well, because in the work that I do with STEM women, we're looking at the area of legacy in terms of what we're doing day to day in terms of our fulfillment and how that creates a wider difference, a wider impact in the world.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm also interested in beyond that is the long-term legacy that we're leaving. Mm. The reason why I'm interested in this is because when I had just had Elsie, so she's my third child, she was about 6 weeks old when my dad had a really big heart attack. And I just remember that phone call that I got, and every evening for a week, 2 weeks in fact, I would drive Elsie to the hospital to go and visit him. And it was about 30, 40 minute drive each evening.
Wow.
And I had a lot of time to think on those drives. And I kept asking myself these questions, you know, if I was to die today, what legacy would I have actually be leaving in the world? What tangible difference have I made? And it was at that moment that I realized that I would need to see and feel the difference that I was making each and every week. And it was on that third mat leave when I retrained to be a coach as well.
Wow.
But that was the catalyst.
Give me tingles.
Yeah. But that was the catalyst. And that question has really not haunted me, but it has definitely stayed with me.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm really excited to be able to interview you today as well.
Amazing. What an incredible story, because that is it. It's needing, we all need to get to that point where we have that realization. You know, we hear it everywhere. We hear life is short. We hear, you know, make your days count. But you have to get to that point where you're ready to take ownership of what your legacy is and how you're going to create it and leave it behind.
Absolutely. I just want to start this episode with a message of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you to everyone that tunes in to listen to this podcast. By doing so, you've enabled me to live out my dream of making a world that works for everyone. And it's one of the greatest privileges in my life to have real, heartfelt, and vulnerable conversations that we can all learn from. I owe you a huge thanks for being here. And can I ask a favor? I cannot tell you how much it can change the reach and therefore the impact of this podcast by doing just one simple thing. And that thing is hitting the subscribe button. So thank you, and let's continue to open up together. And so I want to hear what your definition then is around this impact with legacy. What does that mean to you?
So when you look at the definition of legacy, it actually means to pass on. So you're passing on your work. So you if you leave a legacy in a will, you're passing on something. You're leaving some money, a teapot, whatever. But when you think about it in the context of your work and your career path, what is it that you want to pass on? And it may be from the point of education. You might be teaching in STEM, or you might be doing research. So it's understanding in alignment with your own values, what is it that you want to pass on in terms of your legacy? So I think that's a good place to start. But then I think also we can overwhelm ourselves with this impact, like this thing, oh, I've got to leave an impact. I've got to leave this massive legacy. But actually, every little thing you're doing is creating a legacy, whether it's a good one or a bad one. Every choice you make is already, it's already happening. So why not take a bit of time to think about it and then let it be one that's a positive one that aligns with your work and your values? And so my mission is that we understand our own legacies, whether it's something personal to ourselves. It may simply be, I'm going to get in control of my health because I'm going to break that chain. That might be your legacy. I'm going to make those decisions and get in control of my life. It might be, I'm going to be the best mother I can be to my children because they're going to have the impact in the world. And by me taking that time out of my work to spend this time with them, maternity leave or whatever it might be, that's going to have a massive impact going forward. Or it might be something amazing. You want to find the cure to cancer. I don't know. You know, you could have something huge that you're going to set out to do. So that's really subjective and personal to each one of us. And we have to stop and think, what is it that we want to align to?
I think that's really important because as scientists, we get impact drilled into us. In fact, it's even things that we have to write in application forms, prove to us that this thing that you're doing is going to have an impact.
And there are pressure,
but it kind of gets us to think about impact almost in a, I don't know, like a clinical computerized way instead of actually
the results.
The result that you're gonna get rather than a values-driven decision-making process. And I think in terms of my legacy and impact, my kind of vision is around reducing inequity in the world. And I do that through actually just working with coaching STEM women to find careers that they absolutely love. So to find that balance, confidence and fulfillment. Yeah. And I find that that's super fulfilling, but I want to hear, I've been through my own process to get to that point, but what is your method or your model for helping people figure this stuff out?
So I have a four pillar approach: connection, creation, celebration and curation. And I believe we have to look at each one of these pillars before we can really get to understanding our own legacy. So connection is about understanding who you are. Like, how many of us actually explore our parents, our great grandparents, how we got to the country we live in, what our DNA is, like really understanding who we are and whose legacy are we? Because, you know, we don't really know much past second generation, you know, higher up. So I like to explore that. I like people to really dig into who am I? How did I get here? And what are all those stories that have come with me meant in terms of how I show up in the world? And do I love them or do I want to change any of them? Do I want to rethink or reframe the stories that I'm telling myself about who I am because of what's happened? So that connection piece is really important. And also part of that connection is connecting, for me particularly, I'm really passionate about the planet. So this connection to the planet, understanding, you know, we are just on it and we think we can control everything, but actually we're just on this planet. And what is your role on the planet? And that's quite a physical understanding, like I'm a human on this planet, what is my role? And then connecting to your work. And so then you can take this word connection and like apply it to all the elements of your life. Connection in terms of your family. What do you want this, your legacy to be in terms of your family with your children and carrying on through that? And then also key to connection is your connection with yourself and your higher self, your spiritual connection, if you have a faith, it's God or Islam, you know, if you're Islamic, whatever your connection may be, or it might just be to science and the universe, whatever. So that's really key. Then we have creation. That's your day to day. That's your work, right? What are you creating every day? What does your work look like? What do you want to create today? Like yesterday, I was at home, and because Easter's around the corner, I did my little Easter display. And that was really important to me because I want my kids to like love Easter, and I want that feeling of spring and new life. But that's a tangible thing I was creating in that day. So looking at your days, your weeks, your months, the year, what are we going to create? And what do we want this year to look like physically? And also, like in terms of like a legal sense, you would create your will, for example, and you would set out in there your business, your assets, you know, we could get all technical and go down that road. And, you know, there's a practical step to each of these pillars as well. And then we have celebration, which is around celebrating people that have passed, people that you spoke so beautifully of your father, you know, really celebrating. And even where there's been a relationship that hasn't ended well, picking from it what we can celebrate, because I think we tie this real heaviness to people passing, and understanding that actually it's just a cycle. And if we come back to this point about connection to the planet, it's a cycle. And if we can see that passing as a celebration, it really helps us in terms of our legacy in like feeding that through in the cycles as we go. So that's key. And then that would, like, from a legal point of view, that would form into the probate side of things and the person who's passed away and how we celebrate that person. And then the probably what we think of as legacy, like what we leave behind, is the curation piece. What are we going to curate? And if you look at the etymology around curate, it's like looking after and protecting for the future. So that's key in our careers as well. Like, so many of us think, you know, Hannah Roberts, career, you know, woman in STEM, that's Hannah Roberts. What's going to be when you're gone? Like, how is that going to look? How are we going to structure your legacy so that when you've passed, it's still there and it's still going, and making sure that we've put that in a lovely framework so that it can continue long after you've left this planet.
There's so much in that, Debbie.
So much. We could have a podcast on each point, couldn't we?
Do you mind if I ask you some questions though?
Go for it. Let's go.
Do you know the first one you were talking about, which was the connection, that connection to who we are, by also looking not just at ourselves, but looking backwards as well at our ancestors, about how we came into being who we are.
Yeah.
What did you discover about yourself?
Oh, it's so interesting. So my dad never really, so my dad lost his mum when he was 8, and he never really spoke about her. He just said, I was shipped off to boarding school when I was 8. And I remember as a child looking through this brown, you know, those brown leather suitcases that the old, you know, they used to be the old travel cases. And I was in there, and I shouldn't have been in there. And I found this picture of my granny, effectively, that I'd never seen before because she died when my dad was 8. And he came in, he's like, what are you doing in there? And I was just like, oh, just looking. And then I've done some digging, and it turned out that his parents came from Amsterdam to South Africa, and that my great-great-grandfather ran this bakery right in the heart of Amsterdam. And in fact, today there is still a bakery there. And my daughter loves baking, and I love baking. And I'm like, oh my God, it's in my blood. This baking is in my blood. And I'm so excited about it. So there's so many secrets and things you can unravel that could really explain a lot, actually, in your life. So I really invite everyone to do that.
Oh, that's really amazing. I love that. And I know that you're a big baker as well. In my legacy, we have a legacy of swimmers as well.
Oh, do you? Of course you do. Tell me, who are they?
It's actually on my dad's side. And my dad is a good swimmer, but also my granddad, who isn't with us anymore, was also a swimmer. And I think there's a pathway beyond that.
Wow, amazing.
So that explains why I was made for water, not land.
Yeah. Something powerful in that, though, isn't it? Even like on a scientific level, like evolution, like you're just doing the thing that everyone, you know, like your line does. That's great.
It's interesting because, I mean, most people know I've got three children, and of all the children, because I took swimming to such an extreme level, I didn't want that for my children. I was like, oh, any other sport? I wanted them to have a sport because I learned so much in terms of the being with people, that teamwork, but also learning about yourself and how you are under pressure. And then I always had a group of people that I knew I would love wherever I went to in the world, like whatever city I live in, I can always find swimmers and groups of people and have instant friends.
Commonality instantly.
So I wanted that for them, but I didn't want swimming because I knew it would involve lots of weekends in hot, sweaty swimming pools.
For you,
training for hours on end. So I'm like, oh, I'll try out all these different sports, like try them all out, all these different activities, all these different classes. And of course, they do that and then come back to the fact that they all love swimming and now I'm there.
In their DNA.
Of course it was. But at least I gave them the opportunity as
Amazing.
What I want to ask you about next, though, is around the creation. So you talked about this is your day-to-day work, and I do a lot of work with my clients around this, but specifically when it comes to your side of things, you talk about wills as well.
Yeah.
And this is something that became really important to me when I had my children. And then I started to think about, ooh, what would happen in this scenario? You know,
and nobody wants to think about it.
No, I really don't want to think about it, but actually forcing myself to think about what would happen if I died or Mark died or both of us died, what would happen to the children, who would look after the children? An awful question to ask yourself, but when I sorted it out and I asked the people who I wanted to ask to like step in that particular scenario, I felt this overwhelming peacefulness around, that's sorted.
It's okay,
I know that I'm happy with that choice and what would happen next.
I think it's so, so important. And I really want to stress that when you go and do your will, it is not set in stone. It doesn't mean you can't change it next week or tomorrow. You know, you can change it, but get it done. And, you know, 70% of the population don't have wills or wills that reflect their current situation, which is frightening. and if you think about the long-term impact, you know, in terms of your children's legacies, if you're not controlling that environment, if something awful were to happen, what would happen? What is going to happen? We don't know. And you want to have that control and make sure that the right people are appointed. It's so important. And like you say, actually, once people do it, it's like a relief and you're like, wow, I've done it. And then you can forget about it unless you want to change something. But I also think we need to change the way we talk about it because people come, you know, they have this perception about writing their will. It doesn't have to be a doom and gloom death experience. It can be something exciting, which is what my work is about. It can be around, let's look at your legacy. Let's look at your, you know, is there a trust we want to create? Is there the Hannah Roberts trust that could go on forever and that could benefit, you know, whoever we want to benefit, swimmers or scientists or whatever it could be. And that's quite exciting. Like you can create something now that can really have impact after you've gone. And there's a real stigma around like middle class and working class that we don't plan enough because we don't take the steps. We go, I don't have that much to leave behind, or whatever I've created, I'm just going to leave to my kids. But actually, if you took some time to plan, even though in this generation it might not amount to much, by the next few generations, because of all the compound effects, it can really make something amazing. And in fact, one of the biggest trusts that exist today was created by just putting a little a little terrace cottage into a trust fund like 100 years ago. And with all the things that have happened, it's now worth millions. And so you can make real impact by just some planning, which is really important.
And when people are thinking about planning, if someone was to come to you to discuss writing their will, what should they think about before they come and speak to you?
Well, a lot of the time, and with couples, you know, I often find couples struggle the most because you're working together, but you have totally different views on what's going to happen. So my job is to, like, let's just put it all on the table. Let's understand why you're scared of this and why you don't want to do that, and find a middle ground. But obviously, executorship is really important. Guardianship is really important. So if you have children, who would you appoint? And your executors are the people that would step into your shoes effectively and wind up your estate. But those are, like, the practical points. And also, this is an awful question, but what do you want to happen to your body? So I blankly refuse to do a will for anybody who won't put it in the will, because I feel it is unfair to leave it to the family if you don't even know what you want. So I make my clients go away and give us some serious thought. Because that's important, right? That's the first thing people are going to go, what do we do? And then those are all the practical bits. Then we look at your assets. So what's going to happen to your assets, and how do we protect them for your loved ones? Do you want to leave any for charity? Do you want to try and mitigate tax? Because that is a massive thing, is tax planning in your will. A lot of people don't understand that we can do things to mitigate the tax that your family will lose if it needs to be paid from your estate.
I think that's really excellent advice, and some things that weren't asked of me, actually.
Well, you didn't come to me, did you, Hannah?
Well, don't worry. Now I know you, Debbie. We can do the next update together, can't we? But particularly that piece around what do you want, how do you want to, what do you want to happen to your body, and how do you want to also be celebrated? Is there anything specific around that?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is left up to other people. And I know your third step is around celebration.
Yes, that ties
and so yes, you can add it into the will. But tell me a little bit more about, do you have an example of when you've actually been through that process of celebrating somebody in your life? What was that cycle like for you?
Yeah, I mean, my mum, sadly, she passed away December 2019, and we did her celebration in South Africa, and it was very different. My husband always comments how different it is to, like, a British funeral, because it was really a celebration. We didn't have her body there. I had gone to the morgue and with my dad, and we had done that, but privately. We had, you know, beautiful flowers everywhere. It was at a golf club with this beautiful view of the ocean and the golf course, and a bright blue sunny day. And we had music playing, and we had, you know, all her family. The tables were in like a wedding almost, you know, round tables, everybody chatting. We had a screen up with all of her photos and stuff. And I said a few words, and we did have a vicar / minister chap there as well. But it was much more lighthearted. And I'm passionate about people doing what feels right for the family, because there's all this expectation around the family have to stand up and say something. And if you've just lost your loved one, your partner or your mother or father, you shouldn't have to go and stand up there and give this big obituary if you don't want to. You know, obviously a lot of people want to, but it shouldn't be an expectation that it's done. And it's really personal how you celebrate and how you want it. That's what my mum wanted. She didn't want a sad affair. She wanted people to feel lighthearted. So we tried our best to achieve that. But it's very personal to each family.
And you also mentioned in that process around sometimes people have tricky relationships with people.
Yeah.
And it can make celebration quite a challenge.
Yeah.
So I wondered if you've ever done any work around forgiveness and what your take is on that.
Yes. Well, there's so much. What I find is in the first year of grief, forgiveness is quite a tricky place to be. So it's not something that can be rushed. It comes when somebody's ready. And often that first year is you know, it's consumed by the practical things. You know, literally it's the funeral, it's closing down all the banks, selling the house. All this stuff happens in that first year of somebody passing that actually you haven't had a chance to really grieve yourself. And sometimes the grief can come much later and the forgiveness can come much later. But absolutely, this point about celebrating that person irrespective, and not only that person, but your life and the impact on your life. So where you've had a relationship that's been strained, you are most likely to have come out of that with some real positive attributes. So that can be what you can celebrate. It doesn't have to be the person that necessarily, if they're awful, but finding something to celebrate is key.
Absolutely. In my own personal experience of forgiveness, it seems to me that forgiveness is more of a choice ultimately.
Mm. Yeah.
So you go through all these process, you can do all the processing of emotions, the processing of the hurt or whatever it is for you. But ultimately, after all that, you can still hold on to grievances if you choose to, or you can choose to forgive. But I've discovered that it's a choice.
Certainly, absolutely a choice. And that notion that actually the only person that gets hurt when you don't release the forgiveness is yourself. And that's quite... it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you can hold on to all of this and not want to forgive somebody. The other person's moved on and you've still got all this like tension with you around it. So yeah, choose to let it go.
Yeah, that makes sense actually, because a mentor of mine said you have to forgive yourself first, then the other person, and that kind of makes more sense to me now. So thank you for connecting that dot for me. And the final thing in your four pillar system is around curation.
Yeah.
So this is around the actual legacy, what you're leaving behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wondered, what legacy are you leaving?
Wow. So so I am wanting to leave a legacy where I have impacted a million people, helping them identify their own legacy. So even through this conversation, I'm hoping that the listeners are thinking, wow, let me go away and think about that. That's on a, you know, on a thought leadership point of view. But in terms of the planet, I'm hoping that I can tie people into understanding how important and how much impact they can have by making their own legacies linked to conservation and to the planet. And this is like, it doesn't have to be today. It doesn't mean that you have to take your children's inheritance away from them to save the planet. You can structure things that could still benefit your children for their lifetime, and then after that can have an impact on the planet. And I really want to get people really thinking about what can they be doing to be impacting the planet through their legacy, both curating, but also in the day-to-day living. That beautiful illustration that Joe talks about, Joe Martin, about how the Western woman has all the buying power. You know, we make choices every day. We're buying something, and we can really be making one that's good for the planet versus one that's awful for the planet. My legacy is around getting people to really think about that and how they're going to have impact on the planet.
And I know, because we're also in a business mastermind together, so I do know that you also have a legacy with your business as well.
Yes.
What legacy are you managing to curate through the business?
So Austin and Carney, like I said, it's a law firm. We're a high street law firm in Bedfordshire. It's been trading since 1884, and it survived the Spanish flu, it survived COVID, and it's a real challenge to keep it having, you know, keep it steeped in all its history, but also moving it with the time. So I feel like my role while I'm here as director is to slowly pivot the ship, slowly turn the ship, to bring it up to speed with modern technology, bring it, you know, we have all the technology, but to really get it, our systems efficient, and to keep, and to sort of get us going for the next 20 generations to go, you know what I mean? Just to get that next phase. And it's going really well. And what's key to us is the younger people coming up, our trainees, and our succession planning. So we're trying to make sure that everyone we employ aligns with our values around sustainability, which is key. Also around solicitors and lawyers not burning out in the job, because there's been a real, you know, law firms have a real stressful environment often, and we're really passionate about changing that story. So I'm hoping that that's what I'm going to leave behind, is that you can be a lawyer, you can be a partner, you can have it all, and you cannot burn out, and you can make an impact on the planet through that.
And impacting the planet, you also have some conservation around trees as well, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, we were just out on Saturday, actually. So we've chosen trees. So I'm really passionate about trees. Growing up in South Africa, we have massive trees, really big trees, because there's lots of space there. But also we've seen in South Africa's got many different vegetations, and I've seen the impact of like parts of the country turning to desert. And so I've really looked into how important trees are. But tied in with that was, we weren't just going to pay to plant trees like across the world that you don't know what's happening and how. We wanted it to be local, so we can see the trees, we get involved with the tree planting, and we know why it's being done. So just on Saturday, we were planting at a site in Flitwick, Bedfordshire. And the whole point of this site is to be a nature reserve and to provide a habitat for the skylark bird, which is, you know, amazing to be like, yeah, that's what you want to see. We want to see the tangible impact. So we plant a tree for every client that we act for, which is fantastic. So that is a result of all of our clients coming to us. We're so grateful, and it's so wonderful to see the impact. And what is also lovely is, like on Saturday, we had grandchildren planting trees with their grandparents, and one day they can walk with their children and their grandchildren and say, I planted these trees with my grandparents, which is, again, that cycle that we can tie into.
That's so beautiful, and the tree is almost the epitome of the cycle.
Yeah, tree of life.
The tree of life as well. And it's something I think about a lot in my own business as well. When I first started out 5 years ago, for the first 2 years, I was taking 10% of the profits and putting it in a scheme for Fellowships of the Future for women of colour in STEM. Yeah. So then I was thinking, oh, I've tangibly impacted 9 whole people to help and enable them, represented groups in STEM. And then I read this book called Thirst, and it was all about leaving a really like impactful legacy beyond just this lifetime and beyond, and really connecting with the planet. And it was all around clean water solutions. And what I realized was, if you impact on the planet clean water solutions, it means that women and children in particular don't have to, in countries where they don't have sanitation, don't have to go and spend all day trekking 9 hours a day to just get clean water. And that meant more women and children would be able to get education and therefore impact their futures as well. So it really connected with my big vision around reducing inequities in the world through something that was going to help and support the planet. And then I was like, and it's to do with water. And I love water.
And you love exactly like the soil. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And it's that secondary impact as well. So like the primary impact is the water, but this, like you said, the secondary impact is almost the greater impact, in that these women are getting educated and able to go to school instead of walking and trying to get water all day long. And then to tie that all in, like just the way you spoke, that you got so lit up by it, to tie that back into what you do every day in that creation phase, is just incredible, because then the everyday matters, really matters, right? It really, really matters what you're doing every day and the choices you're making, because that's the wider impact, right?
It does. And I really see and feel that difference. And that was the whole point of what happened with my dad. It really just ties it all back in, and it feels like, I do have the answer to that question now.
Wow.
But talking of questions, Debbie, I do have a question for you.
And it sounds like Stephen Bartlett. End the podcast with a question from somewhere else.
It is my favourite question, actually.
Okay.
I want you to think about, if you could go back to any point in the timeline of your life and whisper a piece of advice in your own ear, which moment would you go back to, and what would you say to yourself?
It would probably be back to where I was about 25, 26. And you're on this course and you've chosen your path. And you get to a point where you think, what am I doing? Like, is this worth it? What is this right? And my words have just been, you know, let the path unfold. It'll all become clear. Because when you think where I was 20 years ago to where I am now, it's been an incredible journey and it's been the right one. But I probably didn't know that. And I was probably quite uncertain at the time about it.
I love that, just letting it unfold. And there's, I often find with my own clients that there's this need to have the next step has to be part, has to be perfect. So yes. There's so much like riding upon it, where actually often we just take a next step that's more aligned, we let it unfold a bit, and the next answer presents itself to you on that pathway. It kind of unfolds over time.
Yeah.
So to just relax into it, really.
And that's so key with the legacy as well, because it doesn't have to be anything massive. It just needs you to think about it. It could just be today, I just want to get through the day without screaming at my kids. You know, that is making a living legacy, because you're being a good mom. You know, you're not being a grumpy mom that day if you can get through the day. So it's like, it doesn't have to be this huge thing every day. It's just, what can you do right now in this moment that aligns with your values and the kind of world you want to see?
You reminded me, I would like to set an intention each day now for how I want to be in the world. That's fantastic. Thank you, Debbie. And if people really enjoyed this conversation and they want to hear more about you and what you do in the world and how you can help them, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, the best way is pop us an email. We have absolutely no obligation conversation, and we have some paperwork, like booklets, we can send you just to explore your concept of legacy and what is the next step for you, where are you in those four pillars, and what you can do.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, and I have loved talking to you today, and I know it's
thank you so much
value.
Hannah, it's been so much fun.
Thank you for listening to Women in STEM Career and Confidence. What was your key takeaway today? To start your intentional careers journey, take the Career Accelerator Scorecard and receive a personalized report to transform your career design strategy. All you need to do is go to scorecard.intentional-careers.com/strategy. And don't worry, the link is available in the show notes.